7 dimensions. The walls of the white hall of the temple reflected the pink dawn, seeping through the thinnest curtains. The disciples had already gathered in the center of the hall to listen to the sage's new teachings. They sat in a semicircle, facing the rising sun, and quietly chatted amongst themselves. Each of them wanted to ask their own question to the Great One and receive an answer. The Keeper of Knowledge appeared in the hall silently and greeted the disciples with a warm smile. Almost immediately, the first question was raised.
"Teacher,"
addressed the sage, a beautiful woman whose hair was neatly tied under a light blue scarf.
"Tell us about the 7 dimensions. I am perplexed about this matter. What do they signify?"
"A very good question, Amina,"
praised the teacher.
"The first 4 dimensions are known to us from physics. They are length, width, height, and time."
"Exactly. We even learned this in school,"
exclaimed Amina.
"That's right,"
the sage replied with a smile.
"From these 4 dimensions, our earthly life is formed. 3 dimensions create the space in which we exist in the physical world. And the 4th dimension, time, shows our movement in this space."
At that moment, a young, slender girl in a white sundress timidly raised her hand.
"Great teacher, perhaps it may seem obvious, but I do not quite understand. Please tell us more about these dimensions,"
she asked, overcoming her shyness. The Keeper of Knowledge looked warmly at the girl.
"Veronica, there's no need to be shy if you don't understand something. You did the right thing by asking,"
the sage said gently, and proceeded to explain in more detail.
"The 3 dimensions that form 3-dimensional space are width, length, and height. You can imagine this as a coordinate system with axes X, Y, and Z. In this coordinate system, each object is volumetric. And if we draw a coordinate system with only X and Y axes, there will be only 2 dimensions, length and width. All objects in these 2 dimensions will lie on a plane. They will lack the 3rd characteristic, height, meaning there will be no volume. This is a 2-dimensional measurement. We can say that any drawing, any painting will exist on a plane, and any sculpture in volume, making it 3-dimensional art. And we live not in a flat world, but in a volumetric one, because our physical world has precisely 3 dimensions, length, width, and height."
"I finally understand,"
Veronica rejoiced and looked at the sage with gratitude.
"So it turns out that we live in a 3-dimensional space, not a flat one. Therefore, we live in 3 dimensions. And the 4th dimension is time. You said it shows our movement in space. Here, I got confused again. How should I understand this?"
"Think about how we measure time,"
the sage asked, addressing not only Veronica but all the other disciples.
"In hours and minutes."
"In weeks and months."
"In years, centuries?"
Answers poured in from the hall.
"Correct,"
nodded the sage.
"All these are units of measuring time. But have you ever thought about how they appeared and what they mean?"
This time, the disciples fell silent, and the hall was immersed in silence.
"For example, a year is the period during which the earth makes a complete turn around the sun,"
a tall man with square glasses said after a pause.
"Correct, Andrew."
The sage approvingly looked at the disciple.
"So a year reflects the movement around the sun. And what is a month?"
"The month is the time it takes for the moon to complete 1 orbit around the earth,"
confidently stated Amina.
"Exactly. And it's also a movement. And what about a week?"
The disciples pondered once more.
"It seems to me that it's also related to the moon's movement around the earth,"
the girl in the light blue scarf guessed.
"Yes, that's right,"
the teacher confirmed.
"A week is 1 phase of the moon, meaning 1/4 of the entire circle that the moon completes around the earth. In a month, the moon passes through 4 phases, hence there are 4 weeks in a month."
"So it turns out that there's a connection with the movement here too, right?"
Veronica clarified, following the discussion with wide open eyes, trying not to miss a single detail.
"Yes, you understand it correctly,"
praised the teacher.
"And the same applies to any unit of time measurement. For example, A day is the rotation of the Earth around its axis.
So it turns out that we perceive time relative to the movement of our Earth and the Moon. But if we assume that we are, for example, on Jupiter, then it means that the days will be different, and the year will also last differently compared to Earth?
Veronica asked, amazed by her own hypothesis.
Well done. You understand it correctly,
praised the sage.
Time is a relative characteristic. It depends on our movement in three-dimensional space. For example, if we were on Jupiter, then a year there would last 12 Earth years, on Venus, 225 days, and on Mercury, which moves around the Sun much faster, only 88 days.
So, time moves depending on the speed of our movement?
Andrew clarified.
It is important to consider the speed of our movement relative to other objects.
The sage explained.
For example, a fly moves much faster than a person. And for the fly, we move very slowly, like in slow motion. That's why we can't easily catch it with our hands. For the fly, time flows differently. The fly sees that the person swings and moves their hand, but for the fly, the person's hand moves so slowly that it can easily fly away. Do you understand what I mean?
The Keeper of Knowledge looked at the disciples, who listened attentively, trying to absorb his explanations as best as possible.
So it turns out that we move very slowly from the perspective of a fly, just like mountains seem to move very slowly from our perspective.
The sage added after a pause.
Mountains?
Veronica was surprised.
Do they move somewhere?
Of course.
The sage smiled.
The lifespan of a mountain range far exceeds that of a human, so the movement of mountains is imperceptible to us. However, there is constant movement and change in the geological formations. For a mountain, human movements are super fast, just like the movements of a fly are for us. This happens because time flows differently for a fly, a human, and a mountain. That's why time is a relative unit of measurement, which relates to our movement in three-dimensional space.
In Veronica's eyes, sparks of understanding ignited.
Thank you, Great One.
She thanked sincerely.
Now I understand what the first four dimensions mean.
Teacher, we have been familiar with these dimensions since childhood, but what other dimensions are there?
An elderly woman dressed in a long white dress asked the sage. She was eager to gain as much new knowledge as possible.
The fifth dimension is eternity, or rather, infinity. The repetition of each moment of time in the Akashic records, the chronicles of everything that has ever been. The fifth dimension is an endless cycle of time where everything repeats.
The teacher replied calmly.
Great Keeper of Knowledge, what is the fifth dimension in a human?
Amina asked again.
The fifth dimension in a human is memory, because only there can events repeat in a circle. We can go back to certain moments in life and replay everything again. But as long as a person is in a physical body, their memory is not complete, only fragmentary and limited. This is related to the reincarnation of the soul. After death, the soul gains the full memory of past lives.
Thank you, teacher.
Amina's face brightened with the realization of the truth the sage imparted. The girl bowed to the master, and another question was already raised.
Teacher, please tell us about the sixth dimension in the universe and a human.
The woman in the white dress addressed the sage again.
Helena, the sixth dimension is the world of infinite possibilities, infinite variations of events. For example, imagine a ruler, a pencil, and an orange on the table. They can fall off the table together or separately. Different dimensions realize different scenarios of events. So in one parallel world, the orange falls. In another, the pencil. In the third, the ruler. And so on. In a human, the sixth dimension is imagination, where one can envision various scenarios, of course, on a very limited scale. In our imagination, we can conceive 1,000 different variations, but only one of them is realized in the physical world. while the rest remain in parallel universes.
Beloved teacher, does it mean that a person lives in all six dimensions? Is there a seventh?
Asked a slender young man with short spiky hair and bright green eyes.
Henry, you are right. There is a seventh dimension. It is the divine consciousness, which exists everywhere.
The teacher replied. A smile crossed the student's face, and he was clearly pleased with his guess.
Thank you, Master. Now I am beginning to understand a little,
Henry exclaimed.
Teacher, it means that if the fifth dimension is eternity and repetition, then eternity is the law of repetition. Am I right in understanding this?
Helena clarified.
Yes, you are absolutely right. It's good that you are interested in this.
The sage smiled kindly, sending rays of warmth and unconditional love.
Keeper of knowledge, how does eternity repeat? Does it exist forever because it is cyclic? How should I understand this correctly?
Asked a short man with deep gray eyes, clearly very interested in the topic.
Marat, it is easier to understand this through an example.
The sage replied and continued.
Right now, we are having this conversation in this hall. Sooner or later, our dialogue will come to an end. But then, after an infinite amount of time passes, the circle will close, and this situation will repeat. The only difference will be that the souls will be different because, over an enormous period, they will have gone through reincarnation and once again merged with the Absolute. So in eternity, everything repeats.
Teacher, in which dimension is the cycle of samsara located? It also repeats everything, right?
The girl with short light hair and deep gray eyes turned to the Keeper of Knowledge.
Alina, samsara is indeed eternity. It is an endless cycle of time where everything repeats. Events in our lives also constantly repeat. If a person does not develop and remains stagnant, their life becomes cyclical, and day after day, the same things happen. There is no progress. The same mistakes, the same reactions, the same thoughts. Therefore, one must always be attentive to their spiritual growth, so there is movement, and life is not composed of constant, meaningless repetitions. Only when we evolve will changes and new events come into our lives.
The Keeper of Knowledge finished his thought, and a new hand already went up. Each of the students wanted to ask the Great Master a question to comprehend the truth.
Wise teacher, does it mean that events stop repeating when a person enters a new cycle? That is, moves to a new level of development?
Asked an elegant man in a dark silk shirt, buttoned up to the top.
Yes, Stephen, you are right. If a person has already started a new spiral of development and is moving forward, then everything from the past is left behind, and it stops repeating. But if a person does not experience spiritual growth, then even after reincarnation, events from their past life will repeat. The same mistakes and the same reactions will emerge, and this closed circle will exist until the person realizes that it is time to work on themselves. In order for everything in our lives not to repeat, we must quickly reconsider what we have. Make the right conclusions and apply them in life. Otherwise, all this suffering and foolish situations will repeat.
Thank you for the answer, Master.
Stephen bowed his head, thanking the sage. In response, the Keeper of Knowledge bestowed him with a smile and the bright energy of love and acceptance.
Keeper of Knowledge, does the same law apply in the universe? After all, in the universe, everything also repeats. But it grows and develops. How does this happen?
Helena turned to the sage again.
Perhaps one part of the universe grows while the other degrades?
Alina smiled. The students laughed, and the sage kindly spoke.
Some things degrade, decay, while others, on the contrary, develop and grow. For example, everything in nature is cyclical. Old trees wither, die, decompose, and fertilize the soil. Strong young trees then grow from fertile soil. So one tree dies, but one or several others emerge in its place. This is how nature works. The same cycle occurs throughout the entire universe. It develops, then disappears, and then reappears. And so it goes on in a circle. In the universe, this happens because there is an infinite amount of time. However, our earthly life is limited. Therefore, we must avoid repetition in our lives. We must constantly move forward and not carry our past mistakes into the next life.
The Keeper of Knowledge paused for a moment as if recalling something and then continued.
There's a story about a woman who was killed by her own son. After her death, she was reborn in a different body and even in a different country. There she also gave birth to a child, and the same story repeated exactly. Her son killed her again. This story kept repeating after each reincarnation until the woman realized that she didn't need to have a child. She broke free from this closed circle and finally lived a long and happy life.
A shiver ran down the students' spines. The story was truly horrifying. The Keeper of Knowledge looked at the group and directed an energy of calmness and love to each student, resembling the trembling rays of the sun. The unease instantly dissipated, making way for joy and acceptance. All the students felt it and continued their conversation.
Teacher, please explain. If the fifth dimension is memory, then does it mean everything in our life repeats because the same scenarios are stored in memory? Can we create new scenarios, for example, using our imagination?
Asked a petite girl with freckles sprinkled across her face. Her deep green eyes burned with genuine interest.
Yes, Eugenia, that's correct,
the sage replied.
That's precisely why everything repeats, because no new information enters us. In order for it to enter, we must make an effort to listen carefully to our teacher, not just letting it go in one ear and out the other, but paying close attention, to delve into his teaching, to listen and follow. Only the teacher can guide you in your development and pull you out of the closed circle of mistakes, so that the past stops repeating in your life.
Smiles appeared on the faces of the students. They had already found their spiritual teacher, who would teach them wisdom, love, and truth. It was for this knowledge that they had gathered today in the White Hall of the Temple.
Keeper of Knowledge, am I correct in understanding that all misfortunes are a material manifestation of God? Since the soul has consciousness, the seventh dimension, then it can break free from the material circle of samsara. Therefore, the soul develops while circumstances repeat?
Asked a fair-haired, blue-eyed youth with a long, slender scar across his eyebrow.
Of course, Dennis. Even if we consider the sixth dimension, imagination, there are already countless possibilities that we can envision. But if our imagination keeps dwelling on the same things, repetition occurs. Our imagination is boundless. We can come up with any situation or reaction and start developing it. But instead, we often find ourselves standing still instead of being free.
Yes, teacher, but if our imagination is so boundless, why do most people not progress and remain stagnant?
Amina asked, directing her gaze towards the sage.
It happens because we were programmed this way. Instilled with the belief that we should only think in certain ways. School, family, factory, grave. Everything should only go this way. And nothing new, no development, no fresh ideas.
That's right,
sighed Eugenia.
When I was a child and started to daydream and use my imagination, my mother always said, "Why are you wasting time on nonsense? Better do your homework or you won't get into university."
The students murmured disapprovingly. Each of them had experienced a similar situation in life.
They can't think and develop themselves, and they don't let others do it either,
exclaimed Amina indignantly.
Great teacher, I am completely confused,
admitted a student with long fair hair below her shoulders. It was her first meeting with the Keeper of Knowledge.
You said that there will be other souls, but then I heard that everything in the world repeats. So, do souls also repeat? Please explain.
Maria,
the sage addressed the student, showering her with a warm, radiant gaze.
When a soul enters a new life burdened with past mistakes, the same situations repeat within it. But even so, the new life will not be an exact copy of the previous one. For example, in the past, everyone used to run with sticks and shovels and ride in carts. But of course, this won't happen now. However, there will still be some repetitions because time is infinite. But they will be slightly different situations, different lessons, different settings. Why must the soul repeat everything exactly as in a previous life?
Thank you, teacher.
Maria's voice was filled with elation at her newfound understanding.
Great master, tell us, does complete repetition exist in eternity?
Mara asked again. Today's topic had deeply touched his heart, making him particularly active.
In the universe, everything is possible,
said the keeper with a mysterious smile.
Therefore, complete repetition is not excluded either.
Does that mean that we could be having this conversation here, in this room, with the same group, in the same places, wearing the same clothes, again in some time? Am I understanding correctly?
Marat clarified with doubt and surprise in his voice.
Right. But only an infinitely long time will pass, and everything will repeat, with the only difference being that the souls in these same bodies will already be different.
The teacher's explanations were so profound and all-encompassing that they required immediate contemplation. Silence filled the room. The expressions on the students' faces revealed that an active thought process was occurring in their minds. The sage paused, giving them the opportunity to absorb the new knowledge, and then spoke again, clarifying to make it easier for the students to reach the necessary realization.
The task of every human being incarnated on Earth is to realize their divine spirit, Atman, which resides beneath seven layers, much like the smallest Matryoshka doll.
The sage paused, searching for the most vivid metaphor.
Imagine that a person's soul is like a droplet of pure water floating in the world's ocean of eternity, but it does not merge with its waters because it was dipped in oil beforehand. Thus, the droplet is surrounded by seven layers of oily films.
These oily films for the drop are like the physical, etheric, astral, mental, and other subtle bodies are for a human, right?
Alina guessed.
Exactly,
nodded the keeper.
The development of our soul lies in realizing ourselves as Atman, the divine spirit. To do that, we must disidentify ourselves from all these shells to understand that I is not my body, emotions, or thoughts. Then we can remove these coverings and merge again with the world's ocean of eternity, where we will abide in bliss. However, at the same time, God continues to separate other Atmans, other souls, from himself. He continues to immerse them in these seven shells. Thus, he gives the soul an opportunity to gain specific experiences in the physical world so it can evolve, realize itself, and ultimately free itself from its coverings, merging again with eternity. This cycle is God's play. So our souls constantly incarnate into the physical world until they can break free from the cycle of reincarnations and shed their seven shells. But then, God separates new souls from himself and sends them on their embodiment. And this goes on for eternity.
So, does it mean that our conversation today might repeat?
Maria asked with trembling and excitement.
We cannot rule it out simply because anything is possible in the universe. Everything can happen again, just like it's happening here and now. There will be the same hall, the same bodies, the same temple, the same clothes, but the souls inside the bodies will be different because your souls will have been liberated and merged with eternity during this infinitely long period, while other souls will be separated by God, placed into new coverings, and sent to Earth.
Thank God!
Maria exclaimed with enthusiasm, and sparks of realization shone in her deep gray eyes.
Keeper of knowledge, tell me, am I right in understanding that if a person exists in all these dimensions, they can control them?
Dennis asked again.
A person exists in three dimensions,
the sage answered.
That means they can move, interact, and live in the three-dimensional world without any problems. As for time, a person can control it, depending on the speed of their movement, as I have already explained.
So the faster a person moves, the faster their time flows?
Dennis clarified.
Did I understand correctly?
We control time by changing the speed of our movement.
The teacher nodded.
If we move faster, time will flow differently. We can fit many more events within the same time frame, achieve more. It will seem like time has passed very quickly, yet we will have accomplished much. If we move slowly, time will stretch longer in our perception, but we won't accomplish much. Remember how long 5 minutes can feel when we have to sit still and wait for someone. It seems like time stands still. And the next 5 minutes when we're doing something, when we're moving, fly by like a single moment. Thus, by changing our movement, we start to control time.
So that's why one day feels like a whole week during our spiritual sessions.
Eugenia shared emotionally.
Yes, excellent observation.
The sage smiled.
Due to the intense and rich pace of the practices, we managed to do a lot. Our movement accelerates.
And can we control the fifth and sixth dimensions?
The same student asked.
The fifth dimension is a person's memory. The events of their life shape it.
Explained the keeper of knowledge.
So whatever events happen in our lives, that's what is stored in our memory. As for controlling imagination, it can only be done consciously. That is, we can only form specific images in our imagination by making an effort.
Great one. Is it true that what images we form in our minds becomes our reality in life?
Helena asked.
Yes, that's right.
The keeper of knowledge replied definitively.
By forming images in the mind, a person sets themselves up for a particular outcome of events.
Teacher, can you explain with an example?
Veronica requested.
For instance, if a person has an important interview and they think that they always have bad luck, that they are a failure, and they imagine being rejected, embarrassed, and laughed at. By doing this, they are forming the most negative outcome of events. As a result, when they go to the interview, exactly what they imagined happens. But if a person envisions themselves answering all the questions well, being well received, and thinking of themselves as successful and lucky, the images in their imagination will form the most favorable outcome of the situation.
Great one. If we repeat your affirmations and wise thoughts in our imagination, will it help us in our spiritual development?
Dennis asked.
Of course. For example, if you envision in your imagination that you have control over yourself, that you don't react to foolish people, and that you don't get hurt, upset, or angry, then it will be much easier for you to cultivate positive emotions within yourself. By forming the necessary images in your imagination.
So, can I imagine that one of my offenders comes, tries to provoke me, spits in my face, and I just smile? And then, if this situation happens in reality, will it be easier for me to behave the way I imagined?
Dennis clarified.
Is that correct?
You understood it correctly.
The sage replied, sending a kind and loving look.
Or, for example, if a person envisions in their imagination that they are not attached to this body, that they are, in fact, Atman, a particle of the divine, it becomes easier for them to disidentify from their false personalities and form their spiritual personality.
Great. Thank you for your wisdom.
Dennis respectfully thanked the keeper.
Now, I understand what controlling imagination means and how it can help us. Because most people usually imagine in their minds what? How they deal with offenders, hit them, and take revenge on those who have wronged them.
Yes, that is usually the case,
the sage acknowledged.
People often replay past situations in their minds and think about how they would have acted if they were already prepared for that situation, how they would respond to hurt their offender even more, and so on. And then these situations repeat continuously in the most negative way. But if we imagine someone approaches us, behaves rudely, pushes, is rude, and we respond with a smile and say, "Thank you for awakening me from illusion. Otherwise, I would have forgotten to be conscious." That's when we can control the sixth dimension, imagination, for the benefit of spiritual development.
Teacher, can we control the seventh dimension, consciousness? Since it exists relative to the individual. So we can control the other dimensions, but consciousness is higher?
Alina asked.
Consciousness is the observer.
The keeper of knowledge uttered thoughtfully.
When we detach ourselves from the doer and from what's happening, we become completely free. Because we are freed from the action that limits us to the body or the biological robot. By going beyond activity, a person becomes an observer and attains true freedom. That's what controlling the seventh dimension means.
Great one. Can imagination help us act against all mechanical reactions? For example, when we begin to awaken our conscience or something else, in other words, when we act independently,
said a slim student in an airy pink garment, addressing the sage.
Of course, Margarita.
The keeper of knowledge smiled.
First and foremost, you need to ask yourself, if I am free in my imagination, then why do I imagine the same thing over and over? Why is my internal dialogue always the same? Can't I talk to myself differently inside? What's the matter? You must use your freedom in your imagination. Only the spiritual part can give us knowledge. If we awaken it and think more, there will be progress and quick results.
Thank you, Master,
Margarita gratefully uttered. The Master's words, as always, made her reflect on her life.
Teacher, does it mean that we first achieve freedom in spirituality and imagination, and only then can we truly achieve all the beauties you spoke about?
Eugenia clarified.
Yes, but this freedom is no longer on the mental level. It's on the level of Atman,
the sage said, closing his eyes. It was evident that he was pleased with his students.
This is precisely the level of contemplation in imagination, when we are already free from actions. Nothing restricts us, and we simply look at everything from above.
Great teacher. Tell me, is it true that the whole world, the whole eternity, goes through cycles of birth and death?
Amina turned to the keeper of knowledge.
There were civilizations that expanded first, then declined and perished. You can even take information from the Akashic records and find out when eternity will perish and a new one will appear. Is this all true?
Yes, a new eternity will come,
the sage said calmly.
The entire universe will cease to exist, and a new one will appear.
So, eternity repeats itself too?
Henry asked with interest.
Yes.
The keeper of knowledge replied.
One universe follows another. First there was an explosion, galaxies appeared. Then everything compressed back into a point, and a new explosion and new galaxies happened. Everything is cyclic, and in the end, the same world that exists now will appear again.
The master finished speaking, and immediately a hand shot up. The questions of grateful students seeking the truth were endless.
Beloved teacher, tell me, is there any cycle in infinity that a soul must go through? And if this soul repeats the same path every time, it will never transition to eternity until it is liberated from everything here?
A woman with deep brown eyes and black hair tightly gathered at the back of her head asked.
Of course,
the keeper of knowledge replied.
Since eternity is infinite time, the soul must liberate itself to merge with it. If the soul cannot liberate itself throughout eternity and keeps wandering, it is very unfortunate. In such a case, the soul is constantly reincarnated in hell. Life on earth is hell for the soul, and there it dwells in eternal torment. But God is merciful. Therefore, He provides lessons for the soul to develop and gain experience in hell, enabling it to ascend to higher levels.
Great one. Does it mean that if a person doesn't use these lessons for their development and only degrades, their evolution goes backwards?
The same student asked another question. She was a frequent visitor to the classes with the Keeper of Knowledge.
Yes, Uliana,
the master said amiably. He loved it when the students were active in the classes and sought the path to truth.
Evolution is delayed if negative tendencies are formed. For example, someone decides, I will only help others, but I won't develop myself. That's a foolish tendency. And in the next life, the person is born as a donkey, only to carry loads and be used as a helper. And there are plenty of such foolish tendencies. For example, it's too early for me to study with the teacher. First, I need to dig around in the mud, and then I'll come to the teacher. So such a person is reincarnated as a worm or a dung beetle, and they still cannot study with the teacher.
The master sighed, his bright eyes filled with compassion.
There are many such foolish tendencies, and they can repeat in the next life until the person says to themselves, what am I doing? Why am I doing all this? I must free myself quickly. I must focus on my development and seize the great opportunity to study with the teacher.
Keeper of Knowledge,
Marat asked with interest.
It appears that if a soul repeats the same situation from life to life, it means it is degrading? And if the soul resists and rejects the lessons of God, then its consciousness will not evolve at all. And in life, there will be only negative emotions, laziness, and degradation.
Exactly so,
the sage replied.
It is clear that we won't remain 18 forever. We will grow up, then age, and eventually die. But the same harmful tendencies will pursue us throughout life in different forms, hindering our development. For example, instead of spiritual practice, there will be laziness. Instead of work, there will be willfulness. There are many negative tendencies like this,
the teacher concluded, and the next question echoed in the hall.
Wise keeper, if everything repeats, does it mean that a person has no choice? In other words, if they decide not to do something repetitive, will it still repeat due to God? How can one break free from this cycle?
Evgenia asked.
First and foremost, one needs to change their imagination,
the sage explained.
There, a person is freer on the mental level. By changing their imagination, they gradually begin to change everything else, even in the physical world. Therefore, one must start with their imagination and then transition to the physical level.
Thank you, Master!
Eugenia's face lit up.
From now on, I will think more about my imagination.
And the students' questions were far from over.
Teacher, does that mean imagination is like tuning?
Helena inquired.
When a person tunes themselves, they get a controlled imagination that manifests in the lower levels?
Yes. The alignment begins with imagination. You need to vividly envision what you will do, to the point of a tingling sensation in the third eye, and then fill yourself with strong emotions. Those emotions will turn into action, and the materialization of our alignment will begin. The main thing is to first change the internal dialogue with oneself. Stop justifying oneself and start getting angry at one's shortcomings. Then everything in life will change.
Great one. Tell me, am I right to understand that our practices, such as morning warm-ups with affirmations and the emotional practice Sky Earth, could profoundly change our lives in one day if we didn't do them mechanically, but genuinely alter our imagination and mental level?
Maria asked with hope in her voice.
Indeed,
the sage replied with a smile.
If people think of making things easier for themselves, nothing will come of it. One must engage in practices with self-sacrifice, integrity, repeating the right affirmations, and striving with all their might. Only then will changes occur within a person. But if their attitude is lazy and their thoughts are scattered, there will be no development. It's just a waste of time.
Teacher, please explain.
Uliana pleaded.
So, if a person is in a calm state, their imagination is their prison. But if they cultivate conscious imagination, then, on the contrary, they find freedom and happiness in life?
The sage smiled. bestowing upon the students the inner light of understanding, warmth, and joy, and then began to respond. His speech flowed calmly and steadily like a pure mountain river.
Absolutely right. One must understand that heaven and hell are within us. Elevated positive emotions are heaven, while negative ones are hell. And we can control our own state.
The Keeper of Knowledge paused briefly and then continued with a tinge of bitterness in his voice.
Unfortunately, parents, teachers, and society often only teach us negative emotions. They instilled this from childhood, and now we must dig out these negative beliefs and eradicate the vices they taught us. Now we need to work extensively with our imagination to transition from hell to heaven. It is a prolonged and challenging process of self-improvement.
The sage concluded his thought, and another question echoed in the hall.
Beloved teacher, is it true that when a person dies, they transition to a subtle level? So, the subtle level is the world of imagination?
Stephen asked.
Yes, after death, a person transitions to the world of imagination. Everything becomes easier there. Just imagine a palace and it appears instantly,
the sage replied.
But in the real world, building a palace could take a whole lifetime.
Maria laughed and continued.
Once I was walking and saw many foundations for cottages. These were people who lacked great personal strength, but imagined themselves as great. They took loans from the bank and only managed to build the foundations. Nothing more happened because these people didn't develop their inner strength. They merely imagined everything on a subtle level, as if everything was as easy and effortless as in a dream.
A very wise observation, Maria.
The Keeper of Knowledge smiled.
In imagination, everything is much simpler than in the physical world. To materialize something here, one must exert a lot of effort. The coarse, physical world is like a training ground for us to develop, overcome difficulties, and strengthen our subtle level.
Teacher, how can we prevent our false identity from controlling our imagination? We have habits, inherited programs, which prevent spiritual growth. Am I right in understanding that with the help of imagination, we can even form a spiritual part that will help us develop?
Dennis asked, looking hopefully into the eyes of the great sage.
It all begins with imagination.
The Keeper of Knowledge answered confidently.
To perform any action, we must first imagine it. For example, someone tells us, "Turn on the light." And we must first imagine the room with the light switch. It happens so quickly within us that we don't even notice it. But if we can't imagine something, we won't be able to do it. Before doing anything, we envision it, create a vivid image, and only then do we act.
Great, Keeper.
Helena addressed the sage.
I'm still a little confused about how to prevent our weak parts from controlling our imagination.
The spiritual state is already forming within us.
The teacher replied confidently.
But we must struggle with our weaknesses. Ask ourselves questions. Here it is, the weak part. Why do I need it? Besides torment and suffering, it gives me nothing. It allows me to daydream, only to later bitterly collide with reality. Why do I need this part? I don't want to be in a weak state again. We must constantly remain mindful and engage in inner dialogue. Only then will we have the strength to make changes.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you, Master.
Helena expressed her gratitude, bowing her head. The students followed her lead and thanked the sage together, grateful for the knowledge and experience he had bestowed upon them. The sun, which had only recently risen above the horizon, had now moved to the middle of the sky, illuminating the white hall with transparent golden rays of noon. The students' faces shone with enlightenment from the wise words of the Keeper of Knowledge, and their hearts trembled with unconditional love and understanding. Today, they had received another fragment of truth from the great sage, which would help them live freely and happily, despite all the difficulties of the imperfect earthly world.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.